السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we return for our Juz 5 lesson, inshallah. I hope you're all well and ready to start, both on site and online. All excited as I am, inshallah, as we look at the Quran in this beautiful way via the seerah. Today, as we travel through the ayahs of the Noble Quran via seerah, we will be starting with a bridging introduction between Juz 4 and Juz 5 as we continue with Surah An-Nisa, inshallah. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي My Lord, expand for me my breast and make my work easy for me and loosen the knot from my tongue so that they may understand my speech. رب زدنا علما O my Lord, increase us in knowledge. Allahumma faqihna fi al-deen. O Allah, grant us the understanding of deen. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa amalan mutaqabbala wa rizqan tayyiba. O Allah, indeed, I ask you for beneficial knowledge, acceptable deeds, and pure provision. Ameen. Surah An-Nisa was revealed between 3 to 5 Hijri. And we'll look at some important events in this era in the light of seerah. We have decided to look at this angle this year for our NQDQ 2017. And we will see that the nikah of the Holy Prophet ﷺ with Zainab bint Huzaymah was at the end of 3 Hijri. In the 4th Hijri, the month of Safar, was the conspiracy to kill the Prophet ﷺ. The conspiracy to kill the companions by calling them for dawah, and 70 were killed. In 4 Hijri, in the month of Rabiul Awwal, the Battle of Banu Nabi took place, which we will look at in detail when we see Surah. Can anyone tell me? Which Surah is that in? Surah Hashr. During the 4th Hijri, was the death of the wife of the just mentioned Zainab bint Huzaymah. She was only the wife of the Prophet ﷺ for a short period of 3 months. 4th Hijri again, Dhul-Qa'dah, the ruling of Hijab came about. Alcohol was strictly forbidden. Initially, alcohol was forbidden whilst praying. But during this period, alcohol was forbidden completely. The Battle of Uhrah took place, which is a minor expedition. There were other battles like the Battle of Jundul. Rulings of the Yamam came about during the Battle of Mustalak. And the Nikah of the Prophet ﷺ with Lady Javaria. May Allah be pleased with her. 5th Hijri also saw, I said, 3 to 5, okay? So we're now on the 5th. The nikah with Lady Javaria was in 5th Hijri, Shaban. 5th Hijri also saw the allegations against the wife of the Prophet ﷺ called Lady Aisha. May Allah be pleased with her. Surah An-Nisa and Surah Al-Azab gave us the Burda rules. So lots of things happening at the time when these ayahs are being revealed, okay, in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. The Battle of Trench, the Nikah with Lady Zainab bint Jash, etc. These are just to mention some of the events in the 5th Hijri. So as we start our 5th Juz, inshallah, we will see some more rulings on daily routine. And here we have, from verses 24 to 25, marriage laws. The marriage laws in Islam. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والمحصنات من النساء إلا ما ملكت أيمانكم كتاب الله عليكم وأهل لكم ما وراء ذلكم أن تبتغوا بأموالكم محصنين غير مسافهين فما استمتعتم به منهن فآتوهن أجورهن فريدة ولا جناح عليكم فيما تراضيتم به من بعد الفريدة إن الله كان عليما حكيما. Also forbidden are women already married, except those slaves whom your right hands possess. Thus has Allah ordained for you, all others are lawful, provided you seek them in marriage with mahr, bridal money given by the husband to his wife at the time of marriage, from your property, desiring chastity, not committing illegal sexual intercourse, though with those of whom you have enjoyed sexual relations, give them their mahr as prescribed. But if after a mahr is prescribed, you agree mutually to give more, there is no sin on you. Surely Allah is ever all-knowing, all-wise. Verse 25, and whoever of you have not the means wherewith to wed free believing women, they may wed believing girls from among those slaves whom your right hands possess. And Allah has full knowledge about your faith. You are one from another. Wed them with the permission of their own folk, guardians, awliya, or masters, and give them their mahr according to what is reasonable. They, the above said captive and slave girls, should be chaste, not committing illegal sex, nor taking boyfriends. And after they have been taken in wedlock, if they commit illegal sexual intercourse, their punishment is half that for free unmarried women. This is for him among you who is afraid of being harmed in his religion or in his body. But it is better for you that you practice self-restraint, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Four requirements of nikah. And here we have them in these verses. Consent of boy and girl. In the nutshell, I'm going to give you them in bullet points. Number one, consent of boy and girl is essential. No such thing as forced marriages in Islam. This has become a big misconception in society today that forced marriages are allowed. No, not at all. And we've all heard of the famous hadith when the young lady came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "My father did not ask my consent." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you not wish to marry?" And she actually said no at the time to make it known worldwide that consent was essential. But then she said, "No, I'm happy, I'm okay to carry on, but it's just the fact that I wanted everybody to know that consent is essential." She wanted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make it known. Number two requirement, second requirement of nikah. What do you see from these verses? What is the second requirement? Mahar is number three on my list, so we will say, okay, we'll put that as number two. Consent of the wali, exactly. Either way you can put yes. So bridal gift from the groom is the mahar. Consent of the wali, and the wali being the father, then an uncle or brother. Now, in today's society, there'll be converted sisters. And their father might not understand the laws of Islam. So what happens then? There'll be sisters who may be war-torn sisters who are away and they haven't got any mahram or wali. So then the head of the society, the imam of the masjid or community leader would give her away. Okay? And number four is witnesses, announcement of the marriage via walima. Again, in light of the seerah, the Prophet ﷺ on one occasion saw a wealthy, successful businessman, namely Abdul Rahman bin Auf, one of my favorite companions. He was comfortable, he was prosperous, and on one occasion he came to the Prophet ﷺ and had yellow colour perfume on his clothing. The Prophet ﷺ inquired and said, "What's this?" The companion replied, "I have married a woman from among the Ansar." Do you see how it's happened? Relatively quickly, without any fuss, he's married and he's come in. Did the Prophet ﷺ say, "Why didn't you invite me to your wedding?" But what did the Prophet ﷺ say? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Give a walima, wedding feast, even if it is with one sheep." So again, if we reflect on this, comparing with 2017, is there a difference? Do we learn from this? We can learn from this, can't we? Subhanallah. We say walima is a sunnah. We say walima is in line with what the Prophet ﷺ taught us and told us to do. But truly, if we look at our walimas of today, are they in line with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? We had four regulations here. Four requirements for nikah. Are our marriages of 2017 in line with Islamic law? Question arises. Who can answer that? Are our marriages in line with Islamic law? Loud and clear, everybody, please. No. And then we're a bit upset, we're distressed because the Muslims are in a state of a mess. So let's look at ourselves again and again in line with seerah. Look how the Prophet ﷺ did it. Verse 26. Allah wishes to make clear what is lawful and what is unlawful to you and to show you the ways of those before you and accept your repentance. And Allah is all-knower, all-wise. Allah wishes to accept your repentance but those who follow their lusts. Subhanallah. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the marriage laws and then Allah Ta'ala makes it clear that these things, wishes, are clear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what do? We follow our lusts. It's as if to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could see through the microscope into 2017, into the 2000, into the millennium. This is what people will be doing. They'll be following their lusts. And it's there, straight, black and white, right at the beginning. But those who follow their lusts wish that you, believers, should deviate tremendously away from the right path. Allah wishes to lighten the burden for you. A man was created weak, cannot be patient to leave sexual intercourse with women. This again encourages us to marry our youngsters, our brothers, our sons, relatively quickly. Don't drag it out. Don't be waiting for them to finish their PhDs and degrees and get valuable jobs and then save up and have a big wedding. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. Was this advocated by the Prophet ﷺ, by his sunnah? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that man is created weak. A man on reaching puberty is ready for marriage. Listen to our kids, listen to the youngsters. Assist. And the same for somebody who's lost a spouse, a divorcee, or a widower, or a widow, either gender. Encourage, not discourage. Verses 23 to 25, really, overall would be, do not ruin relationships. Watch the limits and don't cross the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No boyfriends in Islam, no texting, no flirting. Muharrima, no nikah allowed with any of them. So question myself, how do I talk to others then? And our talk, our speech, should be for our mahrams. We can talk to other men, but how? In a flirting manner? Chatting? Texting? No. Sisters, again and again, we're told to scrutinize ourselves before we look at our neighbor or any other person. Verse 29. O you who believe, eat not up your property among yourselves unjustly, except it be a trade amongst you by mutual consent. And do not kill yourselves, nor kill one another. Surely Allah is most merciful to you. And whoever commits that through oppression and injustice, we shall cast him into the fire. And that is easy for Allah. Subhanallah. And if you avoid the great sins, which you are forbidden to do, we shall expiate from you your small sins and admit you to a noble entrance. So firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us that if any of you do anything out of line, you'll be cast in the fire. And then subhanAllah, straight away, I said subhanAllah, maybe not at the right comma, but because I could see the next ayah, that straight away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we get a thinker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifts our morals. Look, if you do this, if you avoid great sins, then I will admit you to the noble entrance. Subhanallah. Verse 31. So important in the sense, don't ever think that it's only tiny. Don't ever think I can get away with it because it's small. That feeling that it's small when it's a sin is from who? From Shaitan. He makes sins look as trivial. Whereas from believer, a sin is a sin. Remember, it's only one small dot which can make a spot, and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that if you avoid great sins, which you are forbidden to do, I have a hadith that I'm going to share with you on this. From Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 8, hadith number 840. Narrated Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, avoid the 7 great destructive sins. They, the people, asked, O Allah's Messenger, what are they? He said, number 1, to join partners in worship with Allah. What's that? Number 2, to practice sorcery. Number 3, to kill a person with which Allah has forbidden except for a just cause. Number 4, to eat up interest, to eat up riba, usury. Number 5, to eat up the property of an orphan. Number 6, to show one's back to the enemy and fleeing from the battlefield at the time of fighting. And 7, to accuse chaste women who never even think of anything touching their chastity and are good believers. Subhanallah. Verse 32. And wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel others from men. There is a reward for what they have. If we just pause there a second, and wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel others. What's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbidding us to do in one or two words? Verse 32. Jealousy. Excellent. 2, what did he say? Prevent jealousy. Not to be jealous. Excellent. Not to envy at others' excellency. Okay? For men, there is reward for what they have earned. And likewise for women, there is reward for what they have earned. Again, equal opportunities, no sex discrimination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is telling us, men and women are the same for what they have done. They do good, they will be rewarded. And if they've done bad, they will be requited for what they've done. Again, there's no priority for men in Islam. As such, that look, whatever we do, we're all the same. Can you imagine, for the salah that we did, we were going to be rewarded differently for our soul? SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala says, no, there is a reward for what they have earned. And ask Allah of His bounty, surely Allah is ever all knower of everything. And to everyone we have appointed heirs of that property left by parents and relatives. Left by parents and relatives to those also with whom you have made a pledge. Give them their due portion by wasiyya, will. Truly Allah is ever a witness over all things. Men are the protectors and maintainers of women. Men are the protectors and maintainers of women because Allah has made one of them to excel the other. And because they spend to support them from their means. Therefore the righteous women are devoutly obedient to Allah. Now we have the criteria for a good, how would you describe it? The criteria for what? A good what? Good wife, excellent, yes, good. Therefore the righteous women are devoutly obedient, point one, to Allah and to their husbands. Again, we can question ourselves, am I obedient to my husband? And guard in the husband's absence, number two, what Allah orders them to guard. And what is this? Their chastity and their husband's property. As to those women on whose part you see ill conduct, admonish them first. Next, refuse to share their beds. And last, beat them lightly if it is useful. But if they return to obedience, seek not against them means of annoyance. Surely Allah is ever most high, most great. This is a topic that is often disliked by people, especially in today's society, young women, young girls. Men are the protectors and maintainers. Sisters, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it with some hikmah. And then the description in verse 34 of a good wife, righteous, salihat, kanitat, humble, soft, loving and caring, and they're guarding in the absence and in the presence, both the property and their private parts, chastity. Verse 35. If you fear a breach, between them, twain, the man and his wife, appoint two arbitrators, one from his family and the other from hers. If they both wish for peace, Allah will cause their reconciliation. Indeed, Allah is ever all knower, well acquainted with all things. SubhanAllah. Worship Allah and join none with Him in worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now giving us the instructions of how to worship. Try to focus in our salah, big important reminder, as we approach Ramadan 2017, inshallah. Focus, be absolutely upon monotheism, focused upon the right oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No messing around. Worship Allah and join none with Him in worship, and do good to parents, kinsfolk, orphans, masakeen, the poor, the neighbour who is near of kin, and the neighbour who is a stranger, the companion by your side, the wayfarer you meet, and those from whom your right hands, whom your right hands possess. Verily Allah does not like such as are proud and boastful. Verse 37, those who are miserly and enjoin miserliness on other men, and hide what Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounties, and we have prepared for the disbelievers a disgraceful torment. Allahu Akbar. So many times people are asking you for some donation. Never ever say, I haven't got anything. Astaghfirullah. Thank the Lord you have. And you find, I remember when I collect sometimes on a Friday, and female sisters that you know say, I've got nothing with me, or I've got nothing. Astaghfirullah. Thank the Lord. Never say that. Allah knows, and we have this very strong hadith here from Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 2. Hadith number 522. And these are things that the Prophet ﷺ taught to his companions in view with these verses. Narrated Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet ﷺ said, every day two angels come down from heaven and one of them says, O Allah, compensate every person who spends in your cause. And the other angel says, O Allah, destroy every miser. We know that if we're tight-fisted, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be tight-fisted with us. How many times do we give, and without even realizing, without asking, you're blessed with many, many times more. Before the day is out, your handbag is replaced with those same notes. Is it not true? And on the other hand, if you think, if you are one of those who say, I haven't got anything, you go out of the buses and you find you've got a penalty ticket on your car. Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us in different ways. Don't be a miser. Be thankful. And we know if we're thankful and we keep using what we have, and this could be money, what else can it be? What else is it? Money?
Time.
Excellent. Energy. Your life. The Prophet ﷺ gave us a popular, one of my favorite hadith again. The popular hadith, use the five before it's too late. All use these in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what are the five if we roll them off quickly?
Life before death.
Okay, you started with number five. Okay.
Time, energy, health.
Use before you get old, use your wealth before you get poor, use your health before you get sick, use your time before you become busy, and use your life before you die. SubhanAllah. Wonderful hadith. I'd like you to take that, find it, and write it in your notes at this point with references, please. That's your homework for today. Okay? Verse 38. And also those who spend of their substance, to be seen of men and believe not in Allah. What is this? In other words? Excellent. And what's the word for it in Arabic?
Riya.
Good. And believe not in Allah on the last day. They are the friends of who? Everybody? Everybody?
Shaitan.
They are the friends of Shaitan. What is happening at weddings today, seeing that we've started with weddings? What is happening at weddings today? Showing off. What is happening at weddings today? Is it the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's not, is it? What is it? The ways of shaitan? You think of some events that are going on at weddings. Is it not shaitan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this in the Quran, but we didn't open it before. Now that we've opened it up, inshallah, it will have an effect on our lives. Believe not in Allah on the last day. They are the friends of shaitan. And whoever takes shaitan as an intimate, then what a dreadful intimate he has. And what loss have they had? Believed in Allah. And what loss have they... Sorry. And what loss have they if they had believed in Allah and in the last day? And they spend out of what Allah has given them for sustenance. And Allah is ever all-knower of them. Surely Allah wrongs not even of the weight of an atom or a small ant. But if there is any good done, he doubles it. SubhanAllah again. Multiplied if you're doing good. And just say if you're not. He doubles it and gives him, from him a great reward. How will it be then when we bring from each nation a witness and we bring you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we bring you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a witness against these people. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask one of the companions to recite this verse. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, to recite in a beautiful voice Surah An-Nisa, verse 41. And on reaching, he asked Abdullah bin Mas'ud, to recite Surah An-Nisa. But on reaching verse 41, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can anyone tell me what did he do? He started to cry. He wept and was sobbing. He was sobbing. He was upset. Why? Because it says that we bring you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a witness against these people. So just imagine it now. Looking at ourselves, look to your right, look to your left, look around us. Visit a wedding. Go to a wedding hall. Do you think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be happy with what we're doing? Just picture it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets to know our doings, our secrets, our faults, things that we think that nobody knows, he's going to witness it. This is enough to follow the sunnah. This is enough to leave any innovation, any bid'ah. This is enough, isn't it, to keep away from anything that is out of line. And not, how can somebody say what's wrong with having a birthday cake? What's wrong with giving a Christmas card? Do you understand? What's wrong with something when the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it? And we are saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. We want to be a Muslim. We want to be of the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. And yet, we find it so difficult or ridiculously hard to emulate the Sunnah. Does that make sense?
Yes.
On that day, those who disbelieved and disobeyed the Messenger, look at this now, after having told us that the Prophet ﷺ will be a witness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now telling us the next part. On that day, those who disbelieved and disobeyed the Messenger ﷺ will wish that they were buried in the earth, but they will never be able to hide a single fact from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a single fact from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O you who believe, O you who believe, approach not a salah when you are in a drunken state until you know the meaning of what you utter, nor when you are in a state of janaba. So these were the gradual rulings on abolishing alcohol. This was one of the earlier ayahs when we're told that yes, you can do salah, but not in a drunken state. Nor when you are in a state of janaba, in a state of sexual impurity and have not yet taken a bath, except when travelling on the road without enough water, or just passing through a mosque till you wash your whole body if you are ill or on a journey, or one of you comes after answering the call of nature, or you have been in contact with women by sexual relations and you find no water, perform tayammum with clean earth and rub therewith your faces and hands. Truly Allah is ever oft pardoning, oft forgiving. Strike your hands on the earth and then pass the palm of each on the back of the other. And then blow up the dust from them and then pass them on your face. This is called tayammum. And what is the essential condition that we just read here for this? When there is no water. Excellent. Have you not seen those who were given a portion of the book, the Jews, purchasing the wrong path and wish that you should go astray from the right path. Allah has full knowledge of your enemies, and Allah is sufficient as a wali, and Allah is sufficient as a helper. Among those who are Jews, there are some who displace words from the right places and say, "We hear your word, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam," and disobey. Astaghfirullah. And hear and let you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hear nothing. So here, if I pause a second, what was the response of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? On hearing something from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would they say? Exactly. And what was the response of these people? Exactly. We hear and disobey. And this word Ra'ina that we're going to look at. And hear and let you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hear nothing. And Ra'ina, with a twist of their tongues, is a mockery of the religion Islam. Ra'ina, in Arabic, was be careful and listen to us, and we listen to you. However, what was their language? What is the language of the Jews of Medina? Hebrew. And in their language, can anyone tell me? It's an insult. Exactly. So they said, Ra'ina, with a twist of their tongues, and as a mockery of the religion. And if only they had said, "We hear and obey, and do make us understand," it would have been better for them, and proper, and more proper. But Allah has cursed them for their disbelief, so they believe not, except a few. O you who have been given the scripture, Jews and Christians. Jews and Christians, believe in what we have revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, confirming what is already with you before we efface faces by making them like the back of necks, without nose, mouth, or eyes. Astaghfirullah Rabbim Qulisam bin Matubale. And turn them hindwards. What's hindwards? Backwards. Okay? And turn them backwards, hindwards, or curse them as we curse the Sabbath breakers. And the commandment of Allah is always executed. Verse 47. Severe verse for the Jews and the Christians of Medina at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Severe as for all those after that too. Don't do this. Come on. Why don't you take heed? Why don't you listen? Verily Allah forgives not that partners should be set up with him. Again, what is this? You all happy with this now? Major sin. Number one in sinning. So any shirk in our lives, if we're going anywhere for asking help, if we're going to any bees, etc., going to graves for help, anything in our lives that shirk, in another way I'd like to break down for you, is when we associate any of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes with other people. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us rizq. But when you think it's only this employee, only this boss who will provide my job, give me my job. When you link any of Allah Ta'ala's attributes with humans. Is that clear? So think about it. Is there anywhere in my life that I think that without this there is no survival? Verily Allah forgives not that partners should be settled with him in worship. But he forgives except that anything else to whom he wills. And whoever sets up partners with Allah in worship, he has indeed invented a tremendous sin. Tremendous sin. We have a hadith for you from Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, verse 5. Sorry, hadith number 551. Narrated Anas bin Malik, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will say to that person of fire, of the hellfire, who will receive the least punishment, if you had everything on the earth, Would you give it as a ransom to free yourself, i.e. save yourself from the fire? He will say, yes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, while you were in the backbone of Adam, alayhi salam, I asked you much less than this. What is that? Not to worship others besides me, but you insisted on worshipping others besides me. Again and again, remove all shirk, remove all sins from our lives. Verse 49, Surah An-Nisa. Have you not seen those Jews and Christians who claim sanctity for themselves? Nay, but Allah sanctifies whom He wills, and they will not be dealt. They will not be dealt with injustice, even equal to the extent of a scalish thread in the long slit. In the long slit of a date stone. Look how they invented a lie against Allah. And enough is that as a manifest sin. Have you not seen those who were given a portion of the scripture? They believe in Jibril and Tawhut. What's Tawhut? False gods. Good. Excellent. And say to the disbelievers that they are better. Say to the false gods that they are better guided as regards the way than the believers. They are those whom Allah has cursed, and he whom Allah curses, who you will not find for him any helper. So again, sisters, shirk, get rid of it. False gods, get rid of it. Because Allah Ta'ala is telling us that they are the ones who are cursed by Allah. And if anyone realizes the importance, heaviness of this, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses anyone, is there any escape? And to be fair, we don't even like being cursed by a parent or a friend or a relative. The curse of Allah, suffer Allah. How can we live? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the exit of this time that we can do tawbah. But on the day of judgment, if we have the curse upon us, we're in trouble. At this point, I'd like to share with you when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did he say in light of Sirah, he never said anything harsh to people. He was softly spoken, he was kind and caring. But there's one time, for three curses, he said, Ameen, 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 when Angel Jibreel alayhi salam came down to him. And the three curses that you're all familiar with, would anybody like to roll them off? Yes, sister, Razia, please.
One is from the one who meets Ramadan and then doesn't get Islam.
The one who approaches Ramadan, receives Ramadan, but doesn't ask for forgiveness. The one who hears the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being mentioned, but does not send salutations and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And number three, one who has parents in old age and is not serving them or dutiful to them. Sisters, again for homework, I'd like you to find the hadith and with reference write it in this slot. So no curse is liked by anyone, is it? Here Allah Ta'ala is telling us that you will not find for him any helper. Or have they a share in the dominion? Then in that case they would not give mankind even a speck on the back of a date stone. Or do they envy men, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers, for what Allah has given them of his bounty? Then we had already given the family of Ibrahim the book and al-hikmah, a sunnah. And conferred upon them a great kingdom. Of them were some who believed in him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of them were some who averted their faces from him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And enough is hell for burning them. Allahumma jinni min al-nar, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli zambi wa atubu ilayh. So next time you find a sunnah, a hadith, and you're finding it hard to obey, cringe factor, oh no, just remember this ayah of the Quran. Surely those who disbelieved in our ayah, we shall burn them in fire as often as their skins are roasted through. We shall change them for other skins that they may taste the punishment. Truly Allah is ever most powerful, all wise. Sisters, again in the dunya, when we're cooking and we burn ourselves, what's the immediate reaction when you burn yourself? Sorry? You jump away. Excellent, Sister Nazi. Yes. You jump away, you move away from the source. Instinctive reflex action. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, again and again you'll be burnt. There will be no jumping away, there will be no escape, you won't be able to move away from it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us all from the torture of death and the pangs of Jahannam. But those who believe in the oneness of Allah and do deeds of righteousness, subhanAllah. So since we start thinking, have you noticed the beautiful planning and the beautiful way of the Quran, the seesaw? A mu'min's heart starts sinking. Yes? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he do? Leave you to sink? Go down in the well? No, like a mummy. Hold your hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so many more mercies than a mother. So he lifts us up again. And not just a little bit, but lifts us even higher than before. Look, look, come on, cheer up, verse 57. But those who believe in the oneness, so no shirk in their lives, they believe in Islam and do deeds of righteousness. This is very important. I'd like you to highlight this, please. And, this and do deeds of righteousness. There's a lot of the Muslims of today have fallen on this point that they think just to believe, to say the kalma, is adequate. But we need to do deeds of righteousness to follow it through. These are the two conditions. And then look at the reward. We shall admit them to gardens under which rivers flow, paradise abiding in it forever. Therein they shall, as waj mutahara, purified mates or wives. Subhanallah. Purified mates or wives, and we shall admit them to shades wide and ever deepening paradise. Subhanallah. Sisters, in paradise there'll be no menses, no periods, no stools, no urine. This is from the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. Okay? Narrated Anas bin Malik. The Prophet, may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is a tree in paradise which is so big and huge that if a rider travels in its shade for 100 years, he will not be able to cross it. Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith number 474. SubhanAllah. This is the wide, shades wide. Massive, broad, ever deepening paradise. Verily Allah commands that you should render back the trusts to those to whom they are due. What do you understand by that part of the ayah, verse 58, what do you understand by returning? Render back the trusts. Give things back that don't belong to you. Okay? Give back property, wealth, a plate, a dish, anything, big or small. Give it back, it's not yours. Back the trust to those whom they are due. And that when you judge between men, you judge with justice. What's that? Be, another word, when you ask for a definition, give me a different word. Be fair, exactly. So think about it, am I fair with my siblings? Am I fair with my children? Or is it always lopsided? Be fair, be just. When you judge between men, you judge with justice. Verily, how excellent is the teaching which He, Allah, gives you. Truly, Allah is ever all hearer, all hearer, all seer. Highlight the end of verse 58, please. Beautiful beautiful attributes to remind us about taqwa, that he is all hearer, he is all seer. Inna Allah kana sami'an basira. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people think they can study the Quran without Sunnah, but this makes it clear. Can we? No. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those of you Muslims who are in authority, hands up if you didn't know that you had to obey your authority, your leaders or people in charge. Hands up if that's new for you today. So who does this include? For a student, who would it be? For an employee, who would it be? The employer. In a home, who would it be? Parents. As wives, who would it be? Husbands. Sisters, obeying who are in authority. And if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer it to Allah and His Messenger if you believe in Allah and in the last day. That is better and more suitable for determination. Have you not seen those hypocrites who claim that they believe in that which has been sent down to you and that which has been sent down before you? And they wish to go for judgment in their disputes to the Taghut. What is Taghut again? False judges. While they have been ordered to reject them, but Shaitan wishes to lead them far astray. And when it is said to them, come to what Allah has sent down, and to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see the hypocrites turn away from you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do they turn away? With aversion. How then, when a catastrophe befalls them because of what their hands have sent forth, they come to you swearing by Allah, we meant no more than goodwill and conciliation. They, hypocrites, are those of whom Allah knows what is in their hearts. Allah knows what is in their hearts. So turn aside from them. Do not punish them, but admonish them and speak to them in effective word, i.e. to believe in Allah, worship Him, obey Him, and be afraid of Him to reach their inner selves. Hypocrite, what is the word in Arabic for a hypocrite?
Munafiq.
And it's the root of munafiq is from what? We've done this in detail, haven't we? Right at the beginning. In our seed classes. Comes from the word? Nifaq. And what does nifaq mean? What does nifaq mean? Tunnel. Enters one way and out the other. A munafiq doesn't like that. He likes to be on the outskirts. Doesn't like to accept Islam. When it suits a hypocrite, they'll accept. They're on the outskirts, on the periphery. If it suits, they'll take. If it doesn't suit, they'll leave. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here. This is what they were doing. Allah ta'ala saying, Allah knows what's in their hearts. These verses were revealed in connection with a hypocrite claiming to be a Muslim who had a dispute with a Jew and he wanted to take his case to a soothsayer rather than to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for judgment. We sent no messenger, verse 64. Sorry, I'm going to carry on from 63. They, hypocrites, are those of whom Allah knows what is in their hearts, so turn aside from them. Do not punish them, but admonish them and speak to them in effective word, to believe in Allah, worship Him, obey Him, and be afraid of Him, to reach their inner selves. We sent no messenger but to be obeyed by Allah's leave. So you know when we think we can get away with it by not obeying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can it be so? No. Why was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent? To be, what's the word here in verse 64? To be obeyed. How can we obey if we've never read a hadith book? How can we obey if we don't like listening to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's why we've wanted and we're pleased and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we've been able to look at this in the light of seerah this year, inshallah. Look at the Quran, the ayahs through the angle of the seerah. Because without seerah, you cannot practice Islam. Without seerah, truly you don't get an understanding of the Quran either. Subhanallah. But to be obeyed, highlight this. In light of our NQDQ 2017, we sent no messenger but to be obeyed by Allah's leave. If they hypocrites, when they had been unjust to themselves, had come to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and begged Allah's forgiveness, and the Messenger had begged forgiveness for them, indeed they would have found Allah all forgiving, one who forgives and accepts repentance, most merciful. But no, by your Lord, they can have no faith until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, judge in all disputes between them and find in themselves no resistance against your decisions and accept them with full submission. And if we had ordered them, saying, kill yourselves, the innocent ones kill the guilty ones, or leave your homes, very few of them would have done it. But if they had done what they were told, it would have been better for them and would have strengthened their faith. And indeed, we should then have bestowed upon them a great reward from ourselves. And indeed, we should have guided them to the straight way. And whoso obey Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they will be in the company of those on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His grace. Of the prophets, the Siddiq. What is Siddiq? What is Siddiq? The truthful ones. Good. Those followers of the prophets who were first and foremost to believe in them, like Abu Bakr Siddiq. It's from the truthful, okay? The martyrs, the righteous, and how excellent these companions are. So again, look at the people who are around you. Who are you with? Who do you want to die with? We know from many a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will be taken in the company of those you sit with, and then you will be raised on the day of resurrection with those. So look at your company. Do you have a better time with laughing and singing and joking, or do you have a better time in the company of the righteous? And what is heavier? Who do you spend more time with? Because the ones you spend more time with will reflect on what's inside you. Do you spend more time in front of the box, or do you spend more time in front of the Quran? How do you like to spend your relaxed time? Do you read Sahaba stories? Do you read Seerah? Or do you read the magazines and the newspaper? These are all practical reflections of what my inclination is towards, what I like. And that's without anyone else having to tell you. It's an excellent sat nav, isn't it? To tell you which direction you are going in. Such is the bounty from Allah, and Allah is sufficient as all knower. O you who believe, take your precautions and either go forth on expedition in parties or go forth altogether. There is certainly among you he who would linger behind from fighting in Allah's cause. If a misfortune befalls you, he says, indeed, Allah has favoured me in that I was not present among them. But if a bounty, victory, and booty comes to you from Allah, he will surely say, as if there had been ties of affection between you and him, oh, I wish I'd been with them, then I would have achieved a great success, a good share of booty. Let those believers who sell the life of this world for the hereafter fight in the cause of Allah. And whoso fights in the cause of Allah and is killed or gets victory, we shall bestow on him a great reward. Subhanallah. The beauty for a believer. The beauty of a believer is, whatever the situation, Alhamdulillah kulli hal. Mutmain, content, satisfied, should I say happy. Whatever the situation, a believer is relaxed. When they're happy, it's a blessing from Allah. When they're struggling, they know they're going to be patient, they're going to get blessed from Allah. And it's a time of warfare. They're fighting for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they win, subhanAllah, fine, victory. But if they don't win, and they lose, and they're killed, then still the reward is with Allah. SubhanAllah. What does this give one then? When one knows these things, these facts, what does it give a believer? What does it give a believer? Sorry? Calmness. It gives a believer sakin, tranquility, peace, inner peace. Only a believer can understand. By sitting here in a Quran class, what are you all achieving? What are you all getting? Peace and tranquility, aren't you? You're all calm. Any worries, any anxieties? No. Sisters, this is the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse 75. And what is wrong with you that you fight not in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, like, why? Why do you not think? What's wrong with you? What's going on? Just like when you're really mad with your child. Why did you do that? Have any of you asked that child before? Instead of telling them off, you ask them why. Hands up if you've done that in the past. Why? Allah Ta'ala is asking them, what is wrong with you that you fight not in the cause of Allah? And for those weak, ill-treated and oppressed among men, women and children, whose cry is, our Lord, rescue us from this town, whose people are oppressors, and raise for us from you one who will protect and raise for us from you one who will help. Those who believe and fight in the cause of Allah, and those who disbelieve fight in the cause of Tawhut. So see the difference? Two types of striving, two types of fighting. Workers and shirkers. Strivers versus skivers. No, it's not like that. We need to be doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question arises though, what am I? Am I a skiver? Or am I a striver? Do I like to strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do I like to hide behind a veil, like a curtain, like I've not heard? When there's an opportunity to put something in the donation box, when there's an opportunity to put my hand up and do something for the sake of Allah, do I like to think, oh no, my family come first? Do I like to think, oh no, I can't do it on this time, I'll do it next time? Again and again, how many Ramadans are we getting? What is your age now? Put your age down. How many times have I actually listened to the Quran in a Ramadan? It's very few. Even now it's embarrassing. The fraction that comes up is pretty embarrassing, isn't it? Might be that you've been listening to the Quran for the last 5 Ramadans, 10 Ramadans. But 10 over our ages is an embarrassing score. Sisters, what am I doing? Do I come to the front or work for work? Or do I only come to the front when there's a treat? You know, everybody rushes towards the table when there's food. But who rushes to go and set up the food? Let's continue. Those who believe fight in the cause of Allah, and those who disbelieve fight in the cause of Tawhut, Shaitan. So fight you against the friends of Shaitan, ever feeble, indeed is the plot of Shaitan. Have you not seen those who were told to hold back their hands from fighting and perform a salah? And perform a salah and give zakah. But when the fighting was ordained for them, behold, a section of them fear men as they fear Allah, or even more. So if you're one of those who fear society, maybe this can be highlighted. They fear men as they fear Allah, or even more. So they're more scared of what? Their neighbor will say, the sister-in-law will say, rather than be afraid of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say. They fear Allah. Sorry, they fear man as they fear Allah. Or even more, they say, our Lord, why have you ordained for us fighting? Would that you had granted us respite for a short period. Say, short is the enjoyment of this world. The hereafter is better, is far better for him who fears Allah. And you shall not be dealt with unjustly, even equal to the scalish thread in the long slit of a date stone. So not even, you will not be dealt unjustly, even with what's being described here. Can anyone tell me the colour of this description? What colour is this at the end of verse 77? At the end of verse 77, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing? What colour is it? It's that transparent, whitish looking sheath, like tracing paper on the date stone. Scalish thread in the long slit of a date stone. Even to that fineness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, nobody will be dealt unfairly. Do you see? Subhanallah. Right, we will pause there. Alhamdulillah, we will stop at that point for a break, inshallah, and continue from verse 78. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم